The other day, at the Mass, one of our parishioners, Teresa is her name, she showed me a cartoon, and it had these two aliens in a spaceship, you know, and they were your typical aliens with the, you know, with the antennas and stuff, you know, and they were looking down on Earth, and one of them said to the other, "Why are they fighting and killing one another?" And the other alien said, "Well, they're killing and fighting over each other because they're trying to prove who's more peaceful." I thought it was funny. And it reminded me of the story of Cain and Abel. Do you know that story? Do you know why they were fighting and why Abel got killed? You don't. You're Catholics, that's why. You know. What were they fighting over? Why did Cain kill Abel? Huh? They were fighting over whose offering was more pleasing to God. That's what they were fighting about. Our offering is better than your offering. Right? I'll kill you over it. We haven't changed much, I don't think. Still going about killing one another. We're qualifiably insane people as a race, a species on the earth. No other species does what we do to each other, that's for sure. We kill each other over beliefs and over who's right, who's got the true religion, who's God's chosen one. It goes on and on and on. You know, aren't we come from the same source? No, I guess not. We're all polytheist, I guess. We're not really monotheist. But God, help us. God still loves us, huh? It's amazing. Even in our sins, God still loves us. Just as we are. Christianity is going through major changes. And people have been calling for changes in Christianity for quite some time, for a reformation within this religion of ours, that it needs to update itself and it needs to let go of some things. And if you look at history, every 500 years or so, there's a house cleaning that goes on and something new comes about. Phyllis Tickle, in her book on the emerging church, talks about this. But there's major changes going on for 21st century, third millennium Christianity. And of course, the basics is there. Jesus is human and divine. The Trinity will be there, but a lot of other stuff will not be there. And for 2,000 years, Christianity has been preaching a God who said to Jesus, and only to Jesus, that you are my beloved Son. And thus creating a spiritual apartheid between God and creatures, between Christ and Christians. And you are the only Son of God, and there are billions of others, but they're adopted. They're second-rate children of God. They're not truly my sons and daughters. But in the third millennium, Christians will proclaim that God says to every human being, "You are my beloved son, you my beloved daughter." To every created being, that you are my beloved manifestation. Because everything is a manifestation of God. And so, in this way, the spiritual apartheid that exists between Christ and Christians, between God and creation, will be abolished. And the whole creation will be freed from slavery, realizing itself as a manifestation of God. And that's going to dawn on us someday. I hope to be around to see it, when everybody will. And then we won't have to kill one another over who worships the best or who's the more peaceful or the right beliefs or whatever else you want. And for 2,000 years, Christianity has been proclaiming that Jesus is the light of the world and has neglected what Jesus has said to all of humanity, that you are the light of the world. In the third millennium, now he wasn't talking to Christians. There were no Christians at the time Jesus was talking here. They're all Jews. All of his disciples were Jews. But he was talking in Luke's gospel to the crowd, not just to his disciples, saying that they were the light of the world. But anyhow, he says to all humanity, you are the light of the world. We will proclaim that not only is Jesus the light of the world, but you are, everyone is, in their deepest self, who is God, is the light of the world. But you need to discover it. And the only way that I think that we discover it, that I've found, is that you have to go within. You have to do silent prayer, you have to meditate, you have to pray to discover this. In his book, An Integral Christianity, which is an excellent book, Paul R. Smith, I think his name is, he says, for Jesus, there was no qualifications for being the light of the world. The only challenge, he said, that Jesus pointed out to his disciples is that they were not to hide this light under a bucket full of egos. And so imagine that you're there on that hillside. And this I recommend to you in your prayer life. Use your imagination. Open the scriptures. Get into the story as best you can with all of your senses. And you're sitting there on the hillside and listening to Jesus talk. And Jesus is saying to you and to me, you are the light of the world. Jesus says to everyone, you are the light of the world. Not you can become the light of the world someday if you have the right beliefs, if you do the right things. No, right now, as you are the light of the world. And so what would be your response? Silence, I guess, huh? Perhaps you go, you're kidding me, aren't you, Jesus? I mean, you don't know me. I'm not very light-like. I got some darkness in me, some shadow in me. I'm poor, I'm sick, I'm crippled, I'm ugly. I don't keep all the rules. I don't obey all the commandments. I have sinful thoughts about sex. Come on, get real. You're not talking about me, are you? And what is real is that Jesus said, yes, you are the light of the world. And he didn't make you an exception to that. So what did Jesus mean when he said, you are the light of the world? Well, he meant what we are the light of the world exactly as he is the light of the world. And later on, Jesus will say in the Gospels, I am the light of the world. And he uses the same words of himself that he used of us. We are divine spirit beings on a human journey just like he is, or was. And actually before he died, he tells his disciples, you're going to be able to do more than I did. Now, he said we could embrace and we could become aware of our oneness with God just as he did. And all the wisdom and compassion of the big mind and the big heart that created all this, created you and I, that is available to us as it was to him. And the mystic poet, Hafiz, I love his poetry, Hafiz grasped this, what I'm saying, and he experienced it. And so did most mystics and saints. But Hafiz says this. He says, I wish I could show you when you are lonely or in darkness, the astonishing light of your own being. I wish I could show you when you're lonely and dark and not feeling right, the astonishing light of your own being. Because it's in you and me. It's in all of us. God resides in everyone. Hindus, Christians, Buddhists, atheists, straights, gays, the good, the bad, the ugly, even Roman Catholics. who would guess? But God wants all of us, no matter who we are, for our light to shine. That light, that spark of God that's in us, to shine forth in our lives. The Spirit wants us to be connected to the light within us and to be transformed by that light. Jesus was transformed by that light. He was connected to it all the time. And so seeing it within himself, he could see it in other people. He could see it in everything that he looked at. But he was connected to it, and he stayed connected to it through prayer. We, when we discover it, and it is there, the divine spark within ourselves, we then see it in other people. All of a sudden, believe it or not, you can see it in other people. And you no longer have to project your shadow on them. You know, like we always do. Because we don't want to face it in ourselves, we put it into others and see it in other people. Instead, we go about our day recognizing that the light is in them, that Christ is in them. And so it becomes nothing but namaste, namaste, namaste. But once you discover it, you must let the light in you shine. It has to somehow work itself out in your life. And so therefore, you follow the Gospels, you'll see how to do that. Just keep your eye on Jesus. He's God in human flesh. He'll show you how to incarnate God in your life by your works of mercy, corporal works of mercy, spiritual works of mercy, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick in the prison, all of that. Is how you show your light in the world. And so, in the end, my brothers and sisters, let us do what he tells us to do, to let the light shine. And we are to give glory to God. Every day when you wake up, how am I going to give glory to God today? Glory to this infinite, intimate, loving, inner God in all people. How am I going to serve that God today? Take time to pray. Get connected and stay connected throughout the day. Namaste.